I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there were a few houses in our neighborhood that I just like loved going to. One of my friends, they always had 4,000 snacks. There were like treats of all kinds, and we didn't have a lot like that at my house, so it was always like really exciting. I also had a friend though whose home was a bit more unusual, but I loved being there. And it was my friend Gretchen, whose mother was a practitioner of feng shui. And I was 12 and 13 when I was coming to her home, and I didn't even know really much about what feng shui was, which is a Chinese art of arranging your physical spaces in a way that aligns to more of this cosmic way of looking at the world and the ways that that brings things out in you in your life when you live in a harmonious home. I didn't know much about feng shui. I just knew that when I stepped into their home, there was a beauty and an energy in there, an intentionality about the design that even as a tween, you know, it felt different. Something was happening. It was a place I kind of craved to be. And I knew a little bit then about feng shui. I know a little bit more now, but to me, it was really a lesson in how the environment around us really shapes our experience in the world. Experiencing a family home that had that much intentionality in the design has stayed with me here like 25 years later, still looking for ways, big and small, that I can bring that kind of intentionality. That feeling is the feeling that I find myself coming back to. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. And this month, we're featuring home design experts who can offer us inspiration for making our homes a more inviting place for our families, our work, and maybe more importantly, for ourselves. I'm really excited to bring you today's interview, which is with Shay McGee, one half of Studio McGee. You might know Shay from her Netflix show, Dream Home Makeover, her sold-out Target line, her book, or maybe her recent People magazine cover story. Shay's signature clean and airy styles become the look everyone wants in their.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Their homes right now, including me. And in our conversation, Shay explains why she was always drawn to design and how she became self-taught and grew this incredible business, all by reimagining how we could make our spaces more beautiful. Shay McGee, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So you're a pretty amazing woman. What do you think makes your approach to motherhood unique?
My mother was a stay-at-home mom, and so leaving my kids felt like I was failing in some way. And I think I really, for the first couple of years of being a mother, I fumbled through just never feeling good enough at anything. And at a certain point, I started to realize that it was just about me. Like, what makes me good at being a mom and what makes me good at my career was just like finding out what works for me and what works for my family. And it wasn't about taking cues from other people because they weren't living my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that I had to find that out the hard way. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that working motherhood was thrust upon me in a way. And when I first started my design business, I was working from home and I fully intended to take a break for a little while before then like slowly taking some clients. When my first child was born and then Sid, he had been working with family for several years and he had a very, very stressful dynamic there and his schedule is very demanding. And we had talked about him leaving, but he decided one day that he was going to just come home and he was done with his job. And that happened to be when I had a newborn. Mm. And so that really was a surprise. And I just was like, okay, well, we got to figure this out. So I was like hunched over from my emergency C-section, like taking the car seat with me to construction sites and upholstery workrooms. And I think that there were so many emotions about being a new mom and then figuring out how to work and be a new mom and getting no break that I just didn't even know where I wanted to land. Mm. And so it took me some time to just kind of like sift through what works for me. And I'm not a 9-to-5 worker. I am a work when my kids are in school and then I work late at night. And that just has always worked for me, but it doesn't work for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's been a big part of my journey is just having to have some trial and error.
There's a lot there already. I also thought with my first child that I wanted to be not quite a stay-at-home mom, but like a really freelancy mom, like mostly momming all the time and then a little bit of working. But my husband was getting out of the military and going to grad school, and I actually had to work to keep us having money to live. And I was, you know, okay with it. Like, this is what we need to do right now while he's transitioning into his new life. But I actually got to do the work long enough and had enough autonomy that I could figure out, wait a minute, I actually like this. This is different than what I thought it would be. And that was like so surprising to me. And I only ended up getting to have that revelation because I had to be the breadwinner at that time in our family.
Sid and I always say that whether it happened this way mm-hmm. or it happened another way, I probably would have found my way here one way or another because I love having projects and I love what I do so much that I think I would have arrived to that conclusion eventually. Mm-hmm. But the path to get there was very quick.
All right. I want to talk about the path that you have taken. So I was reading your book and one of your design principles is visualizing the outcome when designing your home and your life. So I'm curious, when you were beginning your business, it was just you and then your husband, what were you visualizing this work could become for you?
Sid and I always wanted to create a brand. We wanted to create a brand that made people feel something other than just figuring out a product that could sell well. We realized that for us, it was home. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of feel like the vision evolves because at first the vision was like, support our family.
Which you didn't do at the beginning. That was a lot to
right.
ask.
So like that was a, seemed like a really big thing. And if we could get to the point where we could support our family and support those who worked for us and also make a name for ourselves in the industry, that seemed like that was the vision. And then it evolved. Okay, people are following along with what we're doing. They're actually buying things from us. They're hiring us for our design services. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could actually be a leader in the industry. Mm-hmm. And then the vision has evolved, but it's just building upon that. And I, as a very visual person, I do really like to envision the goal. What does it look like?
How do you do that? Do you actually do like the whole magazine ripping mood board thing? Is it Pinterest? Where is it now? How do you do that?
No, I think that there's a few moments in my day. Like I love to do yoga. And there's usually a meditation that comes along with that. And I am a spiritual person. So when I'm saying my prayers, those are the quiet moments when I have time to think about my priorities. Are they getting out of whack? Mm-hmm. And where do I want to be tomorrow? And where do I want to be in 5 years?
A lot of people probably know you from the Netflix show or your Target line, which I know sold out so fast, myself included, I can't get the things that I want. Massively, massively popular at what you do and much more to come, I'm sure. But I do think it's important for people to realize just how hard it was for you at the beginning of starting your business. So many women, because of a pandemic and because of all the choices that we have now and the ability to work flexibly, so many women are at a point of really reimagining what their careers need to look like. But I think it's important to hear just how hard it was at the beginning, that you didn't start as a Netflix star. You started as a person with a vision, and it was lonely, and you didn't make enough money, you know, at the very beginning, right, and all of those things.
It's always interesting because, you know, everything looks shiny from the outside. And I think that when people hear we've been in business for, we're coming up on 7 years.
Yep.
And I always like to point out that before that 7 years of Studio McGee, there were like a few years of lead up before that. So we've actually been on this journey of design and home and working together for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. It started with me like designing rental apartments, and from there designing our first home, and then deciding to go back to school at night to take some classes. And I didn't start designing multi-million dollar estates from the beginning. I started with designing some people's bookshelves, and then maybe I got lucky and designed one room that they had already picked out the furniture and just needed me to pull some things together. And bookshelves turned into rooms, and rooms turned into three rooms, which turned into full homes. And all along the way, we were just taking one accomplishment and then hoping to layer another one on top of the other. But like, we had so much to figure out, everything from our contract to forming an LLC to figuring out like, how do we even find our first hire? And what are we looking for in a team member? And what happens if we make a mistake? Oh, wait, we did. We had people that we hired that weren't a good fit. And then you have to have that behind the scenes talk of letting someone go and having that live on your heart that, man, I brought them in and I should have known better that this wasn't a good fit. And then things like clients being unhappy or me being unhappy that we took a client on. And just there's so many things that happen behind the scenes that don't make it to Instagram. Mm-hmm. In our book, I think that one of the things that we really touched upon is like, make life beautiful, which is our company motto. And also our whole company was born out of a really rough situation. I did it because I had to. I was trying to make ends meet. And then we saw an opportunity to go beyond making ends meet, mm-hmm, and taking a big risk. But it wasn't like, so everything's going really well. It seems like a good time for us to start a business. I have this great idea and I've been working on the side. You know, it wasn't like that.
I'm sure it also doesn't feel like, it might seem glamorous on the outside even today, but there are still so many obligations, I'm sure, and responsibilities that you can't quite see from the outside.
Yeah. And I think that as we've grown, I mean, there's more eyes on what we're doing. And I feel like people are always like, hasn't your life changed? I'm like, well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think I'm still on Zoom calls all day and there's still work to be done. Being on a Netflix show has drawn attention to what we're doing, but it doesn't really change my day-to-day so much. I still have my kids to clean up after. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your book, you wrote, something within my soul compels me to make my surroundings feel beautiful. And you mentioned that the tagline of Studio McGee is make life beautiful. So I'm wondering if you could talk about what that really means to you. What are you saying when you say those words?
It doesn't matter how much money we have. I am always looking for like pretty moments, whether that's in nature or in our home, using things that we already had and just clipping branches from our backyard or lighting a candle because it makes our home feel better. I've always been on the hunt and searching for those happy moments. For me, they often come from beauty, creating it. But make life beautiful, I think that came from a realization that design really impacted the way we feel, and it impacted how I was living, and I could affect my clients' lives. You know, when you go into someone's house and they have like one designed room and then the rest is like kind of in disarray, you always go to that room that's designed, mm-hmm. hang out with people in that room. And I think I just realized that the design choices that we make and how we care for our homes impacts our loved ones and the way we spend our time in our homes. And we have the opportunity to like make a difference in our lives by making choices. The choices that we make affect that and the perspective that we choose to look at the good and the bad.
You brought up your mother and, you know, how she was so focused on raising you all day, like that was her world. And I'm wondering if you feel like you got some of that perspective on making life beautiful from her and the kind of environment that you wanted to raise your children in.
Yeah, my mom definitely influenced who I am today and how I approach creativity. She is a very creative person. I didn't know that interior designer was like a real job growing up. Like we did not live an affluent lifestyle that afforded us fancy interior designers coming into the house and doing things. But our house always looked beautiful because my mom took the care and the time and loved creating, making birthdays feel special or Sunday dinners or whatever that may be. She really just took the time to make things feel special for us. And I love that about her. And that is her way of showing love. And so I've really taken cues from that because it made me feel good and I wanted to share that with other people.
Your husband wrote in your book, something very romantic, I underlined it. Shay infuses beauty into everything she touches. And I was reflecting on that because I notice that as mothers, we want to create these environments for our kids that feel meaningful and rich and creative and beautiful. Whether it's part of the expectation that society puts on us, whether it's part of nesting and maybe instincts that we have as mothers. But I'm curious if you've observed this sort of instinct to make things better and beautiful in other women and especially mothers.
Yeah, I have this big group text with a bunch of my friends from college, and most all of us are mothers, and we were laughing because like half the time being a mom looks like you shutting yourself like in the bathroom on the toilet. And then there's like kids like knocking on the door for you to come out. And those moments are still happening. I'm not trying to make everything picture perfect, but I think that looking for opportunities to create beautiful moments with your family does go a long way. And I think that that could be, oh my gosh, we're making pizzas tonight. We're going to make pizzas tonight, guys. And that means that the phone goes away and the TV is off. We're going to do this because this is a fun activity for all of us. And to me, something as simple as making pizzas with your family can be really beautiful. And I see mothers around me doing the same thing with simple moments. And it's inspiring to me.
So you are pregnant. Congratulations. Yeah, you're going to have another baby. And I know that you've mentioned these periods of recalibration of your professional life and your personal life, talking about finding balance and symmetry and zooming out and looking at your whole life and then zooming in and looking at those little moments. So first of all, are you taking a new approach to work as your family grows? And could you talk a little bit about, you know, these decision points along the way to evolve how you do your work and also be a mother?
Well, I think I'm about to go through another big recalibration. I think that I've always just approached things with like, this is a phase of life that we're in. And when I had my last baby, that was 5 years ago. And we were in the throes of starting our business and people were texting me like at the hospital and I came home and I was trying to take a maternity leave and it was next to impossible to do that. Our business wasn't mature enough, but I tried to stay home. I really did, but it was really hard to balance it all because I felt like we were at a place that if I missed an email or I ignored somebody that things could all just fall apart. But now that she's grown and my kids are in school now, I was able to do things like film a Netflix show and not have it totally interfere with our day-to-day lives because I could do that while they're at school. Mm-hmm. And now I'm about to reach a place where that's not the case. And so these moments force me to figure out, well, what have I taken on too much of? What am I going to have to scale back on? And right now, I'm writing a design book. And that's my big task for the year. And I'm stressed a little bit. Everything from like, oh my gosh, am I going to be 9 months pregnant on the cover of my book? Like, how am I going to do that? Or of course, all the projects that I thought were going to be done before I had the baby or like getting pushed out. And so now I'm like trying to figure out the timing of it because I really, really want to take a break. And I think it's just like, I'm really grateful for moments outside of work that force me to realize that work isn't everything because I have a tendency to get really wrapped up in it. So I like know it's coming. It hasn't happened yet. I'm able to juggle a lot right now while pregnant, but I know it's coming. I know that there's going to be the sleeplessness and also just wanting to be home and having to have some career aspirations put on hold because I have other priorities. So that's coming. It's coming. And I know it is. And I'm a planner. And so in my head, I'll have a plan of like, I'm going to take this much time off and then I'm going to ease back into it. And this is what I'm going to do. But then we all know that that's not, it's just going to blow up once the time is here.
I personally really relate. And I think a lot of listeners to sort of these moments of reflection as ambitious women who want to take advantage of every opportunity. And we're excited, but learning how to say no to things and also like not feeling like we have to keep up with what the whole world expects of us. Certainly for you, I mean, you're in such a public role, like I'm sure there's endless opportunities. So how do you learn to listen to the voice within you that tells you this isn't right for right now because I have other priorities? Like how have you built up the ability to say no to things?
I have a very keen sense of my gut, but it's whether I choose to listen to it or not. And I think all of us have that. I think we all know deep down, like if someone like presents to us a project and we are like so excited about it and we're like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this happen because this is it. Or deep down, you know, this doesn't feel right. Something about, I don't know what it is, but something doesn't feel right. I have to learn to listen to that. And for me, as we've grown, a lot of these recalibration moments are more successful when I lean on other people and it's hard for me to ask for help. And it might be asking team members to take over things. And you know what? It's so good for them too, because then they have the opportunity to step up and have more say in a project. Maybe I would have been dictating that, you know, oh, it should look like this. And it gives them opportunity to be more creative and take charge and step up. And so I think there's a lot of things that can come for other people too when we take a beat.
Totally agree. You have said that you want someone's home to be the bright spot in their day. But so many of us have done nothing but be home for the last year and are kind of itching to sort of improve and beautify our spaces. So what are you hearing from families right now in terms of what people are really looking for help with and reimagining what home could be in not just the COVID world, but the world that's coming when we go back to the new normal?
Yeah. Well, it's been so interesting this past year because people are focused on home more than ever, which in hindsight, it makes sense. But like, I didn't see that coming at the beginning of COVID. I was like, oh no, we're all doomed, you know, like our business is going to go under. What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden it was like, people are just coming out of the woodwork that weren't interested in home before. And they have so many questions and they're loving our videos. And oh my gosh, we decided to tackle this project because we're home and I read your paint color guide. And so that's been really cool to see a newfound appreciation from non-design lovers become design lovers. I love that it's a discovery process that people kind of become addicted to. Like they'll be like, oh my gosh, okay, so I'm home. We have nothing else to do. We're going to paint our living room. And I got your couch from Target and a couple of accessories. And so we're going to start there. And then all of a sudden they do it. And they're like, wow, it feels really good in here. And then they move to the next room. And then they just get hooked on the feeling of what it feels like to walk into your home and be happy coming home. I think that's what hooked me early on. Even if I was in a rental apartment that like had the ugliest cabinet selections, I could find some ways to make parts of my home feel like us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So let's talk about that. There are so many families in either the situation where they're renting and they can't make dramatic changes, or they just don't have a lot of money. So you've been there. What are your best tips for making a big design impact on a budget?
My number one is always going to be clean out the junk. And I use this phrase in our book, clear the clutter so you can see the potential in front of you. And if someone can't design their kitchen from scratch, my bet is that their countertops are filled with junk. They've got bananas on the counter and stacks of papers that like are mail that need to be delivered to someone in the household. And then they have like the place where they put their keys, and then they have like a dish and a dish towel, and like it's just covered.
Yep, that's my kitchen right now.
To me, the best thing you can do for yourself is like get all of that stuff out and find a home for it. And if it doesn't have a home, get rid of it and like corral things. Put a tray next to your stove that carries the olive oil, so it's not like 10 bottles lined up. Corral it in a way that looks beautiful, but it's also really functional for you. Cleaning makes such a big difference. Every home I go into that is messy, I could just clean it and it will feel like it's been well designed. And so I think that is one big thing for sure.
Totally. And also paint. Paint is a big one that you can often do.
I can go on and on about the clean thing, because I feel like that's like the number one thing I see when I walk into homes. It's just like, half the reason this doesn't feel good to you is just because you need to get rid of a bunch of stuff. But from there, paint solves everything. It dramatically changes the way a room feels. If you have a room and it's a bathroom and you've got like these boring white walls, like painting them a dark color is going to make it feel dramatic and moody, or add wallpaper to that small space. I think that walls definitely make a really big difference. But I will say, I like to focus one room at a time. It's easy to be like, I think I'm going to get this one thing here, and then I'm going to get one thing for here, and then nothing ever feels complete. And so I say, like, focus on the rooms that you spend the most time in, and then move out from there.
It's really good advice. I have my boring white wall bathroom. I have my cluttered kitchen. I have a little bit of everything everywhere. So I'm going to be taking that definitely to heart. What about the new ways that we're incorporating work, kid life, and family life? What are some of those trends that you're seeing, especially ones that you think might be here to stay?
Yeah, I think figuring out how to have dual purpose rooms is something that we're seeing so much of. And that could be like adding a, we have a word, it's like a console that's a sconsel, like a desk console behind your sofa, or maybe you have your dining table acting as the homeschool space. I do think that giving yourself some storage so that you put work away at the end of the day really is nice, because I know me, when I leave my laptop out and I have fabric samples or something, because I've been working at the dining room table, it like lives there through the rest of the night. Like, oh man, I should be
psychologically.
Yeah.
I know.
So I think having some storage solutions next to, that could just be a basket. It could be a little shelving unit, but just something to be able to put the work away at the end of the day. If it's out in a main space, really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Also, to the extent that you can, maybe separating, like right now I'm in my bedroom because all my kids are home today, so I couldn't be in the normal spaces. But I really notice a difference when I'm not working in my bedroom, right? That I have a little bit of that separation from work. You have to like create it within our spaces.
Yes. And you know, everyone's home is different. And so like the bedroom might be the only, might be the only option. But I think the layout really makes a difference. I think that, you know, adding a little lamp or adding some artwork above your desk goes a long way to just kind of like making it feel like it's its own space.
Okay, I have another quote of yours because there were a lot of quotes in the book that I really liked. This spoke to this space planning, life planning. You wrote, "In design, you can find balance without symmetry." And my question to live a more deliberate life wasn't about dividing my time equally across all categories. I needed to step back and look at life as a whole. As a designer and a mom, can you talk about this idea of balance and symmetry and how you've learned to apply it to your actual personal life as well?
So I mentioned earlier, like I'm a planner. And so I think my initial approach to motherhood and career was like, I'm going to schedule my day out. And I could practically tell you, like, I've like timed it so that like everyone's getting their like equal attention daily. But I realized that that does not work for me. And sometimes there are work projects that take over my life. Netflix was one of those projects. And it was a grueling schedule. And it took a lot of my attention and time. And then we stopped. And all of a sudden, I had all of this time on my hands. And I had, because of Netflix, been able to delegate so much to my team. And they were running with it. And so I didn't need to retake those responsibilities anymore. So I realized, okay, now is the family time. So we stopped filming. And for months, it was just play with the kids. They were out of school. We were homeschooling and gardening and doing all of those things. And now I'm like, okay, I think before this next baby, it's going to be another sprint. I've got to get through all of these projects. And so it's kind of goes in waves. But I think that the trouble happens when you don't pull back from anything and you're like, this is a sprint. And then that sprint never seems to end. For me, I have to like recognize like this is a sprint at work. And then it's like, okay, these projects is done. Give yourself a second shade before you say yes to something else.
You mentioned that it's hard for you to ask for help. And I know a lot of women who have so much on their plates, but actually feel guilty asking for help. How did you overcome that? What would you want other women like that to know?
I think that the hardest step is asking for help. But then once you start getting it, you're like, oh, okay, why didn't I do this earlier? Why didn't I hire a cleaning crew earlier? Why was I thinking that I could manage cleaning our home, working full time, spending time with the kids, and making dinners? It was just, it wasn't realistic. And so once I started asking for help, I noticed a difference in our happiness as a family. And then I was able to like also, you know, when you list out your top three focuses or priorities, cleaning my house wasn't one of them. And I wasn't always able to afford that. But as soon as I got to the place where I could, I wanted to ask for help. I couldn't afford an executive assistant. We could only hire people that could charge money for design services at the beginning.
Yep.
But then I was totally overwhelmed and I wasn't even working on the design.
Right.
I was trying to keep up. And so then it was like, okay, there was a time and I can't believe I thought this, like, oh, I can trust no one to be my assistant. Like they can't do all these things that I'm like, how on earth am I going to trust them to answer an email for me or speak on my behalf? And then you find the right person. And that's a lot of it too, is like finding the right people. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I couldn't live without this person in my life, or having childcare that I can trust. And it's funny, I list these things out and it seems so easy, but like all of those, there was a really long lead up of me feeling like I had failed because I needed to ask for help in those areas.
Absolutely. And no one can do this all. And women, historically, we were helping one another to get through this season of life. And today we might need to hire help if we can afford it, or at least acknowledge, because I've been there too, like where I definitely couldn't afford to ask for help. I like you had a point in my career, I was working full time and my husband was in grad school, but we could only afford part-time childcare. Mm-hmm. So I would work my job all on my time, you know, at night, really early, all of the time when the kids were napping. But when you get to that point, just acknowledging that it is not a failure. It is necessary for so many people to like get the job done.
Leading up to starting Studio McGee, when I was just working myself, I did not have childcare. I was like trying to support us and have a newborn. And even when we moved to Utah to start Studio McGee, we still didn't have childcare. And so we were having our employees come over and work at our dining room table during nap time, which I mean, oh my gosh, that was like a nightmare. Cause like, oh no, she's not going down fast enough. Like we have an employee coming over to work at our kitchen table and we were trying to juggle the responsibilities and it was just how it was. But the second that we could afford to hire, even for a couple of hours, that help, I was able to work my butt off to generate enough revenue to make up for it. And then you see like all of a sudden how putting your attention to the areas where you perform best, it works. That model works.
I want to talk about having a third child. What do you envisioning in terms of how a third baby will change the dynamics of your family and your mothering?
I feel like it's going to rock our worlds because it's been a while. So I have a 7 and a 5-year-old. And so last time I had a baby, I also had another baby at the same time to take care of. So my hands were full. And now my two older kids are like beyond excited to help and be there. Everyone's potty trained. I don't carry anything anywhere except for maybe some goldfish in my bag. They're pretty independent. But I think that because of that time, I feel like I've forgotten how demanding and sleepless you will feel. And I think that there's a part of me that's still like in my head thinks that I'll be able to keep up my same pace at first, even though I know I won't logically, but I want to believe that I can. And so I know that this third is going to force me to slow down, but it's also for me, I think that this will be our last. And so I'm really looking forward to just enjoying it and knowing that this is it. This baby time is just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
How do you know that this is it? How have you come to that realization?
Well, it's been something that I've wanted for a while that didn't happen right away. And I think that I don't know that I can split my time any further right now and give everyone the attention that I want. And maybe that will change. But right now, I feel like in a place where this is going to stretch me. And I'm excited to be stretched, but it's not going to break me.
I'm always curious because I have 4 and I've never felt done. And I'm starting to be like, wait a minute, like, why don't I have an off switch like everyone else who seems to have some sense of that? But I'm always curious how people who are willing to share come to that decision.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I think Sid's really done. And so like if he wasn't, then I'd probably be like, oh, well, but for me, like this is it.
Totally. That's part of our consideration as well. All right. At Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers. I think of them as powers within us that we often didn't know were there before we became mothers. So I'm curious, Shay McGee, what is your superpower?
The obvious answer is that my superpower has been to find really beautiful moments in the everyday. But I'm going to flip this because my kids have made me feel like I have superpowers that I didn't know I have. I am a worker. I'm naturally a little bit more serious and reserved. And I can make smiles and I can be silly. And my kids bring that superpower out in me that no one else can. So I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to be a mother and have those superpowers that I never would have known otherwise.
Everything is magical. Everything is play to them. And I love that they brought that out of you. Shay McGee, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Before our next segment, I want to mention a great podcast that I think our listeners will love called Encyclopedia Womanica. That's Womanica. because for too long, history lessons have glossed over the truly essential contributions of women. Let's be real. Society wouldn't be here without us. And the amazing contributions that famous women and women you've never heard of have made to all of our collective history. And that's where Encyclopedia Womanica comes in. This podcast from the Wonder Media Network aims to change the narrative by introducing all of us to the pioneers, scientists, artists, and more from antiquity to today who have shaped our society. Every weekday, host Jenny Kaplan dives into the trials, tragedies, and triumphs of this diverse group of groundbreaking women. Each episode is only 5 minutes long, so you can listen to it on your way to school drop-off, but it packs painstakingly researched content into fun, entertaining, and addictive daily adventures. You may or may not already know these women, but you definitely should. You can follow Encyclopedia Womanica wherever you get your podcasts. So my question is, what do you find beautiful about our house?
Something that's beautiful is we have these flowers that are like coffee and chocolate scented.
Do you know what they're called?
No. They're kind of flower and they have white petals and for like the little, I don't know how to describe it, like the thing in the middle, then it's like yellow, then like going down it turns into like an orange.
Did you plant those flowers?
No. They grow in our backyard and now I sell them.
You sell them?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, I get out a table at my curb and I put a sign up and I sit there for a while and I try and get some money. A few days ago, I actually got $20 from someone who lives like 5 houses away from us. They really liked it.
So flowers in our backyard.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to the Motherly Podcast. Next week, we'll have another incredible home design expert, and I cannot wait for you to listen. I hope you're finding inspiration to bring back into your homes. I know I am. As always, we'd love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So if you can, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It takes about 30 seconds. I'd love a 5-star review, but an honest review is always appreciated. And leaving a review really helps other mothers discover our show. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett with editing from Seaplane Armada. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions, and I am your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.